This is the present of work. It's not the future work. And I think companies that will not be open to accommodate those different types of engagements and different type of other things that you do on the side will just not get the best employees. For example, allowing employees to do a side hustle will allow them to also develop themselves, right? It will allow them to find their own interests and learn new skills. And if you don't allow your employees to do that, they will go somewhere else.
Welcome to the Disrupted Workforce Podcast, where we focus on the intersection of the human experience, AI, and the future of work.
Our mission is to help you prepare, navigate, and thrive.
If you're ready to take the next step, visit thedisruptedworkforce.com. Now, let's drop into today's episode.
TDW fans, we are excited to have Gali Arnon join the show today. Gali is the Chief Business Officer of Fiverr, overseeing its business strategy, product development, and implementation to take Fiverr to its next stage of growth. Prior to her new role, Gali served as Fiverr's Chief Marketing Officer, where she led the company through its IPO. Fiverr is an online marketplace for freelance services, and its mission is to change how the world works together. We think Fiverr is a shining example of the future of work. Gali, welcome to TDW.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So the future of work seems to be freelance work. In 2023, you, Fiverr, reported that 73% of workers planned or to start or continue working as freelancers. And we've seen a lot of other data that speaks to at least of half of Americans working freelance in the next few years. This is huge. So what are the top two or three trends behind the recent growth in freelancing?
Those numbers are just outstanding. What we know for a fact is that 40% of US workforce are already working as freelancers in some capacity. And as you said, the forecast is that by 2027, 50% of the workforce in the United States are going to be freelancers. So what are the main trends? I think the first one would be the fact that especially younger generation that are joining the workforce, they see how unstable the workforce is. They see that the recent layoffs, right? So we've seen 2023, and even at the beginning of 2024, we've seen few cycles of layoffs, and they want to control their own destiny. We just released 2 weeks ago another research specifically about Gen Zs. We did a survey among 10,000 Gen Zs globally. And again, 70% of them are saying that they are considering freelancing as a viable route and a viable solution. And the reason is, again, is that they want to be their own boss. They want to control their own destiny. I think that would be one trend. The more younger generation are joining the workforce, you would see more and more people looking at this as a very positive route, as a very positive option for them. I think the second reason or the second trend is that people really understood that it's possible to work remotely. And obviously, COVID only accelerated that. You can work from anywhere. Technology allows you to work from anywhere. There's so many solutions like Fiverr. Obviously, Fiverr is the best, but there's so many solutions like Fiverr that allows you and platforms that allow you to communicate remotely, to work remotely, project management softwares. So I think that's another huge trend. And I think the third one will be that companies and managers are more confident now to manage employees remotely. And this is why freelancers are also an option for them. So I think what COVID and the pandemic taught us is that you can work from home. You don't need someone to sit next to you in order to trust them to reach their goals or to fulfill whatever project or whatever objective you give them. People realize and managers realize that they can actually trust people even if they're not sitting next to them. I think that led a whole new acceleration process of people working remotely and for companies hiring more freelancers as a solution where they have skill gaps or they don't have enough headcounts or manpower to do things instantly. So those would be the main, I think, trends around it.
I think it's such a great way to run an experiment. If you're a business leader and an HR team, and you recognize that you need help, but you don't have time to go out and do the whole hiring, or maybe it's hard to get the skills that you need, and it's going to take longer. And you have this whole layer of the workforce now that you can just go grab and get the value that you need right away. This is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes it so immediate. The process of employing an employee, it's a commitment. If you want to be agile, you want to be agile with cost. If you want to be able to reduce cost and make sure that you're not committing for bigger costs for the long term, I think working with freelancers is a very viable solution.
Let's unpack this freelancer term. And the reason why is because there's a lot of terms being thrown around out there. So people who have this kind of work are relying on these positions to bring in some extra income, right? But there are different types of these positions. So there's the freelance economy, freelancers, side hustles, moonlighting, part-time, and all these terms. I mean, there's probably even more that we didn't just mention, and they're being thrown around, but I think there's not a clarity maybe about what those terms mean, or are some of those terms even dated? So it would be great if we could do a quick level set and just say, what are the modern terms to be using here? And are there some that we shouldn't be using?
Yeah. So I think freelance economy is this economy that is built on people that are self-employed. Now, they can vary in skills and expertise and years of experience, but it's basically this part of the economy or this part of the workforce that is based on people that are self-employed, that they're managing their own time. This is the overall economy, and those are the numbers we talked about, 50% of the workforce in 2027 that are going to be made out of freelancers. And we see, by the way, the same growing trends in Europe and in other countries. And then freelancer, I mean, the basic definition of a freelancer will be someone who will be self-employed. He can work on multiple projects. He can work for one company for a period of time, but he's self-employed. He's managing his own time and he's not employed for a long term by an employer. He's not committed to one employer long term. Then you have the part-timers, right? So those are people who are not working full-time. They will usually work in a specific cadence of hours or days in the week, but they will work part-time for one employer. They can work part-time, you know, for multiple employers, but that would be still an employer. It wouldn't be a freelancer. Side hustle, we usually call someone who's doing something to complete their income, or it's an additional income. This is usually, side hustle doesn't require long-term commitment in terms of time that needs to be invested. And people can do side hustle for, you know, for a while, and then they can stop, and then they can come back to it again. And they usually see it as an additional way to make money. And then you mentioned moonlighting, which is usually people that are, in addition to their full-time job, are taking another part-time position or part-time job. They usually do it at night, hopefully with the knowledge of their employer, and because we heard about cases that their employer weren't aware, so that also exists. But that's what called moonlight. So, and you know, and there's other terms that that were defined in a few in the recent years, like digital nomads, so people that are working from anywhere. And then in the digital nomad, you have the different definitions of people are working from one place, from few places, and it goes on and on and on. But I think the basic definitions are employees and freelancers, and then it changes in capacity of time and commitment.
I have one other question about this. It's so good to hear the definitions and how nuanced it is. My question is, there for a long time, work, corporate work frowned upon these types of roles. I mean, I can remember, I've been in the workforce for 25 years. I can remember people going, you can't do anything outside. You know, it's not okay. Have we finally entered an era where doing these kind of other types of work are becoming more commonplace and accepted.
I think that's like nature of the evolution of the future or the present. I mean, in your podcast, people talk about the future work, but this is the present of work. It's not the future work. And I think companies that will not be open to accommodate those different types of engagements in different type of other things that you do on the side will just not get the best employees. I think, you know, or because I think, for example, allowing employees to do a side hustle will allow them to also develop themselves, right? It will allow them to find their own interests and learn new skills. And if you don't allow your employees to do that, they will go somewhere else. And you want to be competitive. You want to hire the best talent out there. So I think the more companies will be open and agile in that sense, they will be more competitive and more attractive to the best talent out there, because it's usually the really, really great employees that will want to do more, learn more, try more, and experience more.
So what you're saying is there's this sense of permission at the company level is something you see increasing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think flexibility of companies in general to new types of employment just started in COVID. And we see it now. There's a whole, you know, discussion about hybrid models, working from home, working from the office. I think companies that will not be flexible will not work with freelancers, for example, as a very strong muscle, right? Knowing how to do it will just stay behind.
This is a really great kind of snapshot of the growth that we're experiencing, of the terms, of how flexibility is changing. This is a really nice level set to drop into this moment that we're in now. But I would like to look forward a little bit with you. You know, if you take your crystal ball out, how do you see Fiverr and the freelance economy evolving, you know, over the next 2 to 3 years? What big changes might we expect?
The first one that we have to talk about is AI. I think AI is one of the biggest revolutions that will impact the workforce, will impact work in general, and will impact freelance economy as well. I think the way it will impact the freelance economy is that some jobs will be replaced by AI. I think the automated skills or the automated simple jobs will eventually be replaced by AI. And at the same time, I think new skills and new jobs will emerge. And in addition, I think the more new tools will be introduced, and we already see it now, every week there's like a whole bunch of new tools that are being launched. And people need to, in order to use them, in order to really get the benefit of all those tools, you need to master them. It's easy, right? AI should be easy, but it's not that easy to write the exact right prompt in order to get the best image out of Gemini or Midjourney, right? So people will need someone to guide them, to navigate, to help them either do it for them or just consult them how to, you know, find their what they need to get in this chaos. So I think there's like three parts. Jobs that will probably gradually disappear, new jobs and skills that are going to be emerged, and then the in-between of people that will just help you navigate this whole new technological revolution. So in that sense, I mean, Fiverr opened a vertical for new AI jobs more than a year ago, in January last year, 2023, because we already started seeing those trends on the marketplace. And now we have a full vertical with over 30 different categories like prompt engineering and chatbot developers and AI consultation and Midjourney artist. And this is growing really, really significantly. People need this holding hand with using those new technologies. So I think that's the first big change that we see in the next 2-3 years. And then another big change again, going back to companies and the way they're gonna engage and work with freelancers, I think this is something mm-hmm. that we're gonna see growing. And I think companies will need to develop this muscle because it requires different processes, different internal processes. Think about it. Companies know how to employ employees forever and ever, right? They have HR, they have legal, they have finance, and they have systems in place to manage this. But then when it comes to freelancers, how to onboard them, how to pay them, how to work with them, you know, in terms of legislation, regulation, and all of that. So I strongly recommend companies to hire a chief freelancer officer, or at least someone who will manage this freelancers sector, or we can even call it a department in their organization, in order to make this whole recruitment and working with freelancers much smoother and much faster. So they will be able to move fast by recruiting them, finding them, recruiting them, onboarding them, and working with them. So those, I think, would be the main kind of 2-3 changes that we'll see in the coming 3 years.
Those are really powerful. And I love the way that you laid all that out. And we absolutely would love to dive a bit deeper into AI. It's a topic that is near and dear to our hearts. It was actually interesting as you were talking about the tools. You said, you know, they can create an image with Midjourney or DALL-E. And I'm thinking to myself, or with Stable Diffusion, or with Sora, or with, you know, fill in the blank. Mm. And that's part of the challenge, right? That there are so many tools, and just, it's not just writing the good prompt, it's understanding the nuances between these emerging platforms and which ones to use. I want to ask a very specific question about skills. And as relates to AI skills, where are you seeing the greatest demand for AI skills on the Fiverr platform now?
Yeah, I think the first one will be just AI consultation. So we see that people need help in navigating this new reality, right? So I think that's something we see. Businesses, especially small businesses, need a helping hand. Now think about it. Companies as big as Fiverr or other companies can hire AI experts and, you know, data science experts to help them navigate this new technology. But then think about a small business or even a mid-sized business. They want to now integrate a chatbot in order to make their support more productive and faster. Would they know how to do it themselves? No, probably they will need someone to give them a helping hand. So I think that's one. The second really large domain of expertise is just development. So people are looking for developers with AI skills that know how to use, how to integrate AI capabilities in different ways. So chatbots is just one of them, but there's different ways where AI can leverage your business, make you more productive, remove cost or save on cost. So that would be the second one. And then Fiverr is known for years for being very strong in the creative services, right? So video editing and image and illustration and graphic designs and all of that. So we do see a lot of demand for people can either come with an output that they already created on Midjourney and now they need to customize it, to put it on their website, to make it look like it's their own. Or they will come to a Midjourney artist and say, hey, I don't know how to do this and that. Maybe you can help me. So that would be like the two main use cases, coming with handmade output from AI that they need to customize in a way, or create something from scratch on one of those AI tools.
That's such a good perspective. It's interesting to think about. AI development is a wildly in demand skill. There's not enough of these people in the world. Right. And it's fascinating to hear that you can find those people on Fiverr. So not only are they in demand full time, but they're also in high demand on the Fiverr freelance platform. I want to stay with generative AI on this. So you did a super smart and cool and funny out of home marketing campaign on giant billboards, and it featured freelancers and had the text that said, AI took my job, .. to the next level, which is so smart. What a great plan, Words. And we wanted to know a little bit more about, I mean, you're obviously doing the right marketing. How are you building a community around generative AI in a time when there's a lot of fear mongering and concern?
So first of all, thank you. We love this campaign. And we've seen so many other companies startups just copying it. So this is like the utmost flattery,
it's a good sign.
Right? It's a
yeah.
good sign. So we've seen it in many different iterations later on. So we are very proud of this campaign, I have to say. But it came from a real fear and a real concern that we realize as a growing sentiment, not only in the general public, because it was, you know, enough to open the newspaper and read every single day about how AI is going to destroy humanity and kill the workforce and we're all going to be unemployed and human have no future, blah, blah, blah. So that was one. And then we realized that this growing sentiment of concern is also happening among our own community. So our own freelancers are asking themselves whether there's going to be still room for the human touch, right? For the for the human talent, for human humor. And our answer was that yes, absolutely yes. So our own belief, we call ourselves like techno-optimistics. We look at AI as an opportunity to just take you to the next level. You can be better with AI. It will not replace you. I cannot see a scenario in which AI will replace human creativity, human sense of humor, human sophistication, and human interpersonal skills. And by the way, this campaign was yes. created by our own in-house creative department, and I cannot see a scenario with AI will actually create such a campaign, if you think about it, right? Mm. Because it, I mean, this, you know, playing with the words, creating this, you think that AI really took their job, but then AI didn't. I think only humans can create something like this. So to make a long story short, we realized that this is sentiment that is happening. And we said, why don't we play with it a bit, you know? And it turned out to be extremely viral and extremely successful. But I think if we're not only looking at the marketing side of things, I think what we realized that in order to make our community ready for this revolution and maybe kind of to ease the fear around it, we need to do a lot of education. So in the last year, we did so many webinars. We created content hubs, online courses, in order to allow freelancers to gain those skills, to up their skills, to up their game in terms of understanding what AI can do for them. And in order to see AI not as an enemy, but as a friend, as a tool that can empower them and not replace them. And I think as long as they understand it and they know how to embrace it and not to, you know, move away from it because it's frightening, I think that will be the right way for every talented person in the world, basically.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic answer. We're always talking about how do you use tech as a teammate? How do you use AI as a sidekick, as something that can enhance our human superpowers? And, you know, this idea of how do you balance this increasingly digital world and digital experience while fostering, you know, the human touch and the human experience? That is such a delicate dance. And I was just curious, beyond what you are doing with the courses and with the messaging, how are you helping people understand those key points that you made around what makes us human? What are the things that can't be replaced? What makes us unique and powerful? How is that being socialized in the Fiverr community?
Right. So I think first and foremost, it's not only in our external messages, it's also coming to life in our internal messages to the community, on our social posts, in an open letter we wrote to AI and posted on the New York Times edition where Micha, our founder, wrote an open letter to AI talking about this relationship between AI and humans, which was, again, a bit funny, a bit sophisticated. So I think in order to kind of convey this message, we use external messages and internal messages to our community. I think the more you know, I mean, the feeling of, I think you are usually fearing things or you are afraid of things that you cannot control and you don't know enough about. And I think closing this knowledge gap is helping our freelancers feel that they can be more friendly with AI. I think the main message was just know how to work with this. Don't be afraid of it. The more you know about it, the less it's gonna threaten you, and the feeling of control. You can, you know, bring back the feeling of control. And I think, in addition, freelancers, especially the ones that are working in services that might be replaced, should know how to reinvent themselves. They can do it by learning a new skill. They can do it by learning how they can work together with an AI to create a better output than before. So if you're a copywriter, and now obviously AI can generate part of the writing, you know, a simple job, but then you want to customize it. You want to make it funny. You may want to make it sophisticated. You want to do it with the right tone of voice. This is where copywriter comes in and can be replaced. So how do you replace the very simple, boring part of writing and makes it more, you know, adds salt and pepper to it to makes it sound like a human being and not just a machine. So yeah, I would say the more they know, the more they master it, and the more they evolve, the less afraid they are and the less threatened they feel.
We absolutely agree with you. We've actually found that we've been in front of a lot of audiences on the show and on stages and in rooms, facilitation, et cetera, workshops. And bar none, the best way for people to feel more comfortable about AI is to have shared awareness, shared understanding, shared meaning, shared purpose, and shared exposure to these different tools. When people do it together, there's sort of this collective sigh of like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought. It's not as bad as I heard. And then there's this chatter of excitement, like, oh, wow, did you see this? Did you see that? And I don't feel like there's any better way right now to get people to warm up to generative AI.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I love this conversation about how do you create culture and community around this. And we know that's really important to you personally, that it's something that you're passionate about. And we were excited to ask you, how do you approach creating culture and community for an entirely remote workforce?
Freelancing, the way we see it, I think it's a movement. It's more than just the way you work, right? It's a whole lifestyle. It's people that have completely different mentality, okay? They're not, you know, I think about our parents' generation and how reliable paycheck at the end of the month was like that dream. This is what you were expecting. This is what you wanted from work. But then I look at those younger generation and they're looking for fulfillment. They're looking to do other things while they're working. They were looking to combine hobbies and work and their passion, and they want to do multiple things at the same time and not just focus on one. And I think that once you understand that it's more than just, okay, those are designers or video editors or voiceover artists or musicians that are coming here and doing their thing. It's a whole movement. It's the way they live, their lifestyle. It's, you know, the way they're designing their home office or working from like the nearest cafe, or they're actually traveling and the way they manage their work routines. They don't have like someone to sit on their head and say, hey, I need it to be ready by this and that, yeah. Right? They don't have those deadlines and OKRs and all those systems that all those companies created for years and years and years. So I think once you understand that this is a movement and this is a whole lifestyle, you can create a community around it, a community that is passionate about this lifestyle, a community that is passionate about doing what they love and bringing their skill to life, but then doing other stuff at the same time because they don't need to commute 2 hours to work and do their 9 to 5 and be afraid to leave the office earlier than their boss and all those things that we know exist in like corporate culture. So I think this is how we foster this community sense and we celebrate this community sense. We want to be the champion for this human talent and for the community of freelancers. And we're very proud of it.
What I'm hearing you say is that you're really tying culture to the values of the freelance economy, that that's where you find the culture and that we have a sense of shared values and purpose for the lifestyle and the way that we want to work. And that is what we are going to elevate as our culture.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, well defined.
Yeah, I also think it's super smart. So identity is one of the most powerful forces in the human psyche. It's super smart for Fiverr to say, this is a lifestyle. This is a way of approaching career and life that's different. And having people anchor to that is super smart. I want to ask kind of a little bit of a flip side question. Some leaders cannot find their way to embrace remote or freelance work. It just isn't, it's too foreign to them or their company doesn't support it or whatever. And we wanted to know, are there freelancers who go into their clients' offices? If a leader is embracing this, are there freelancers who actually show up to work as part of their agreement and do the whole, even though they're freelance, do the whole in-office thing?
First of all, there are. On Fiverr, the whole nature of Fiverr is completely digitally. So the way we do it is that most of our categories, I'll name, you know, a few exceptions, but most of our categories are being digitally distributed. So if you need a voiceover artist or you need a music session or, you know, someone to develop your app, it's all going to be transferred digitally. And that's the way we do it. However, we did, for example, opened, which is a quite equivalent to a freelancer showing off at your office, right? We opened up a category of photography. So this is obviously, you know, product photography, fashion photography. This is obviously happening offline with people actually meeting each other in New York, in Paris, wherever it is, and doing this project side by side. We also opened the vertical 2 months ago, a consultation vertical. We talked earlier about AI consultation, where people are offering sessions on Zoom and are actually seeing each other and doing some, you know, it can be business consultation, it can be AI consultation, or even life coaching. So people provide life coaching or online lessons through Zooms. To your question specifically about bigger companies and freelancers actually showing up for work, definitely it exists. It exists on Fiverr as well. We have freelancers showing up at our offices.
It's obviously, your office.
It's obviously limited to the local environment, to the local surrounding, right? So you can't, the whole idea of a platform like Fiverr is that an Australian business can work with someone in America and they can work together, create amazing projects together, right? This is the whole idea is that talent is global and you can work with everyone from everywhere. But yeah, obviously the more companies will be open to this freelancing solution, they will probably want some of this freelance capacity or freelance force to be locally or in their local surrounding and actually come for work if it's for a limited time project or for a longer term relationship. So definitely we see it's happening.
You, Gali, you opened this door and I have to ask you, what percentage of the Fiverr workforce are freelancers?
The thing is, it's not a percentage. It's how much of, because you need to remember, the way we work at Fiverr, it's not an employee, all right? We're not giving employees. We are doing projects on Fiverr. That's the way we think about it. It's not the old way of working. It's the new way of working, which is project versus hours and manpower and all of those old way of working. So I would say, for example, in our marketing department, and I used to be the CMO, so I can definitely tell you, huge part of whatever we do in, we did in marketing, from voiceovers to designs to graphic to motion designers to music sessions, our ads, copywriting, blog writing, all of that was done on Fiverr. Always. So a huge portion of our marketing expenses was actually spent on Fiverr. But we, you know, other departments are using Fiverr as well. So our R&D department is using Fiverr, and HR department is using Fiverr for all those internal town halls that we have, for videos, for competitions, for any design we need for any event or party or, like, you know, holiday celebrations, all been done on Fiverr. The pillows behind me were designed on Fiverr. You don't see my entire room, but all the elements that I have in my room all are done on Fiverr. The whole office is designed by Fiverr freelancers. So, yeah, we are practicing what we preach for.
That is awesome. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. As a chief business officer, you always seek market opportunities. You are doing business development. You are setting up strategic partnerships. Recently, Accenture made a bold move to acquire Udacity as part of a $1 billion move to upskill around AI. Now, that's internal within Accenture and external with clients, right? So what's your take on that deal? And how does that relate to your recent ZDNet article where you stated generative AI will change freelancing for the better?
Listen, I think we also talked about it in South by Southwest last week when we talked specifically about Gen Z in our panel. I think the whole idea of upskilling and learning new skills is becoming really important. Now, Fiverr has what we call Fiverr Learn, in which you have courses, including, by the way, AI courses in different domains, because I think freelancers more than anyone else need to constantly upskill and learn new capabilities and new skills. The reason is that they need to be, they need to master the most recent trends and the most recent development. We just spoke about how, you know, freelancers needs to change and adapt to those new AI tools and technologies. You can't do it if you're not learning constantly. Now, think about it. Think about the role of formal education, right? How can it be that you're studying for like 3 years, 4 years, whatever, 7 years after you finish high school, and that's enough? Can it be enough that you stop studying in whatever, the age of 22? Is it enough? Will it be enough in this ever-changing environment? The answer is absolutely no. And for people who work in companies, for employees, so sometimes the companies themselves are providing those tools, educations, you know, courses, and those capable in-house training. But then freelancers, which are becoming 50% of the workforce, they don't have those in-house trainings. They don't have those in-house courses. So they need some external non-formal education, like courses and online courses that will keep them up to speed all the time. So I think, and specifically now with AI, because this is a whole new ball game, I think that the importance of non-formal education, online courses, different upskilling solutions is becoming really essential and really important for the freelance economy to keep on thriving.
I want to talk about the other side of this coin, which is the upskilling of business owners and leaders who also need to figure out, when do I hire a freelancer and when do I hire a full-time employee? In a world where the freelance economy is growing like gangbusters as it is now, what are the key considerations? What are the frameworks that they should be using to make that decision?
Right. I think the first consideration is just the duration of time. So if you realize that you will need this skill or capability, you know, from now and ever on, yeah, you'll probably need a full-time team, full-time employee. But then if you need someone to handle a project here and now, and you might not need it in 6 months' time, a freelancer will be a very relevant solution. I think the other thing is just the skill gap. I think what we see is that there are different domains in which you cannot find someone who is a full-timer. And I think you just mentioned right with AI.
Yeah.
There's just not enough. There's huge shortage of people who understand AI and actually want to work full-time, because a lot of those experts are enjoying this unbelievable demand for their skills. So I think this is where freelancers is, again, a great solution, where you have a skill gap, when you have something new that is coming and emerging and you need to keep your employees up to speed. So I think that's a very relevant solution, again, for managers. I think another consideration is just location. Sometimes you are really limited with your immediate surrounding, and working with someone globally will make it much easier. So you can hire now in talent in, you're based in New York, but you can hire someone in London, or you can hire someone in Germany. And then not always it's that easy to hire them full time. Sometimes you need a local entity, or you need to, you know, comply with completely different rules and regulations. And freelancer could be an amazing solution for that, just because it's really complex to hire in another country. So I think there's different considerations. I think in your back of your mind, you need to remember hire freelancers, skilled freelancers and really experienced ones are a much easier solution now than ever before. It's really an immediate, fast, with less friction than ever before, viable solution.
That's great. There's also this question around how do you lead freelancers, right? Leading freelancers, there is some nuance between that and leading your full-time employees. So what are some of the must-know skills for leaders that are trying to set up freelancers or freelance teams successfully?
I think first and foremost, invest in the onboarding. Sometimes, you know, we have a whole program for new employees and they have an onboarding program. They have an in-house training program. But then a freelancer's come and you just tell him, okay, this is what you need to do, right? You can start here and here. And you don't invest much in you know, showing them the bigger picture, explaining what the company is doing, explaining the company mission, vision, purpose, objectives, limitations. I think this is really crucial. And I think people really need to, our managers, leaders really need to take this seriously and create a structure around onboarding of freelancers. I think then just creating work routines is also important. So let's say you hire someone for a 6 month project and, you know, for your own full-time employees, you have working routines, right? You will probably have weekly touch base and you will have team meetings. Use freelancers in the same way. I mean, use work routine, management routines to make sure they're on board, they're motivated, they know what's going on, they feel included. I think that's very important as well. And then provide feedback. Just like you have those feedback cycles and you have all those policies and ceremonies, I would call it, to provide ongoing feedback to your employees. In order for the freelancers to do a better job, they need to get ongoing feedback. You know, they need to get positive feedback when they're doing a great job, and they need to improve when when it's just not good enough. So I think providing feedback is also really essential in making a freelancer successful in your organization.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I've seen so many times in my career where there's not, and you brought this up a minute ago, where you said it's really important to have a head of contractors and freelancers and someone who's kind of owning that umbrella as a service, as a vertical, because so many times I've seen inside where freelancers and contractors are not getting the support that they need. They don't know who to go to. They don't know who can help them resolve issues. They're lacking that bigger picture that you're talking about. And so it's interesting how, to Alex's point, there needs to be this whole development effort to make this thing a winner instead of just, throwing some spaghetti against the wall and hoping that it sticks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk about a government angle here. In the United States, we don't do a great job of tracking freelancers. We don't do a great job of tracking this freelance side hustle economy. And the census doesn't do a great job of it. I know the IRS does recognize it. What do you think needs to happen around policy? Given the growth, this thing's here to stay. What do you think needs to happen around policy? And also, is that same thing happening internationally where governments just aren't doing a good job of tracking this part of the workforce?
Yeah. First of all, to your second question, yeah, I think it's a global issue. I think there's like initial steps that the UN is taking now, to better kind of regulate this whole idea of freelancer economy. And I think, first of all, freelancers need support. Don't forget that they don't have the same social benefits, the same transparency, and they need support. So I think governments need to do a better job with giving them a feeling of security and supporting them. I think that would be the first principle. And then obviously, I think, because there's the tracking systems are not that great, and they're usually behind, right? Regulation is usually behind the technology, and they're like few steps behind the evolution. AI is a good example. Just now the UN is starting to pick up on those latest advancement in AI. US, I think, is even more behind in this sense. So I think, government needs to realize that it's not just a trend that is, one day it's here, next day it's gone. It's here to stay. It's becoming a real substantial part of the workforce economy, and government needs to give and provide better solution, not only in terms of tracking, but also in terms of support and benefits and providing transparency. I think the more governments will understand it and will recognize it, we'll just be, benefiting from that as a society, and obviously individually, freelancers will benefit from it as well.
This whole conversation has been about this really tidal wave swell in the freelance economy. And it's just so big. And yet there's some people that are just, they're naysayers. They're resisting it. They're saying, we don't get it. We can't embrace it. Why are some still resisting this movement, given all the data, its size and impact it's having?
I think, to be honest, I don't see it that way. I feel that if there is any resistance, it's maybe, coming from the need to preserve old way of working and to kind of stick to the old methods. I think the younger generations are extremely open to it. They feel it's extremely respectful. And that you can fulfill your dreams by being a freelancer as much as being, developing your career in a company. I see a lot of people, on the other hand, I do see a lot of people, even my colleagues, that are leaving the 9-to-5 and they're now, they can be even Generation X and they're now dealing with like 3-4 different projects at the same time, providing consultation, doing different things. I feel like people are extremely positive about it, and whoever is not probably sticking to the old way society used to do things and work, and that will change. I mean, this is the future. Yeah. This is the present. I mean, this is the present. It's more than the future.
Gali, we are going to take you into a speed round. 5 questions, and you have 60 seconds or less to answer each one. And Nate is going to kick us off.
So we asked you about long-term engagements, but I think it's a really interesting thing. Everybody thinks of freelance as this short-term opportunity, but What percentage or how often are you seeing freelancers get long-term engagements? Because I think that would really matter to people to know, hey, this is actually a long-term opportunity.
So I would say a significant part of Fiverr revenues is relationships. So what we see is that once a business is finding a freelancer that they can trust and they can work with, they will come back again and again and again to the same freelancers to work with them, not only on this specific service, but on other services as well. So I think relationship is and trust is still the fundamental way of working with freelancers. And it's reflected in the Fiverr data tremendously. The majority of the revenue of Fiverr comes from repeat buyers that comes again. And in most cases, they come back again to the same freelancer.
Wow. You just returned from South by Southwest, where you spoke on a panel about Gen Z and their career paths and preferences and how they're shifting. What was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway is that we millennials and Gen X are talking about Gen Z because we're not Gen Z. And my biggest take is that we just look at them from a bit from above because, oh, they were born in a phone in their head and they are so, you know, clueless about everything. And they're all day long in social networks. And I think the more we'll see them as a very valuable generation that is completely different with, you know, coming from completely different opinions and is actually an amazing generation that can contribute so much to the workforce will benefit from that more. I think the whole idea of talking about them reminds me the same talks we had about millennials and probably the same talks older generation had a younger generation 2,000 years ago.
Yes, it's every generation since the beginning of time.
We all do it. That is so wise, and you're so right. It's a great point.
They are going to be amazing, and they're going to be fine. We need to be, you know.
Worry about ourselves. Don't worry about them.
Exactly.
Okay. A lot of people are a fit for freelance work. But there are some people who are not a fit for freelance work. Tell us a little bit about those people.
I think if you want to be a freelancer, you need to have this, to be open-minded and not to fear the freedom. I think people that are afraid of the freedom of getting up in the morning and being their own boss and have the self-discipline to fulfill whatever objective they have, but do it by themselves, are the people who are not great fit for freelancers. In order to be a freelancer and a successful one, you need to have this entrepreneurship mentality. You need to be open-minded and you need to not be afraid of your own freedom. That would be the number one rule.
This is a question Nate and I have decided that we are going to ask all of our guests this year. So anybody listening to this, and if you're coming on the show, know that we're going to ask you this. 3 years into massive disruption, what does the future of work mean to you now?
The future of work means to me now freedom to make mistakes. It means flexibility. It means embracing technology, but still using our superpowers as human being, as talent. It means trust and relationships. I think relationships are the key for the past, present, and future of work.
Last one. You have 3 daughters and believe in work-life balance. Alex and I have kids too, and we know the struggle. The struggle is real. You have an important and demanding role. What are 2 or 3 things that you do to maintain balance?
I have my own rules. So I'm not waiting for anyone else to allow me this balance. No one will give you or provide you this balance. You need to create it You need to define what's good for you. What are the do's and don'ts? What you would never miss as a parent, and whatever will happen, you need to be part of. So I think that's the first tip. The second tip is that I gave up on the guilt feelings, because I used to be feeling so guilty for years, and then I realized that when my daughters, and especially because there are women, when they look at me, this is the model they see. They see a model of a woman that is actually fulfilling her capabilities and her skills and her potential. And I want them to be the same. I want them to fulfill their potential together with spending time with their family, but, you know, not putting barriers to themselves. So I think, you know, giving up on those guilt feelings helped me a lot. And no, this is who I am. I mean, I cannot do anything else. I need to fulfill my potential. And there's no different Gali. I cannot be someone else who is like sitting at home and cooking and it will be enough for me. It's not enough for me. I need to use my mind. I need to use my brain. I need to be among adults, and that's fine. That's okay.
I love that candor. Thank you.
Gali, thank you so much for being on with us today, for your authenticity, for your desire to help people to find their passion and their purpose and their freedom as a human-centered leader leading the freelance economy and the future of work. For caring about culture, community, and education, which we know matters more than ever now. And of course, for embracing generative AI as a complement to our human superpowers rather than a competitor.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure to be here.
Gali, where's the best place for people to find you online?
I think on LinkedIn would be the best way to find me online.